Hi, this is Eric Castle with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're here in the School of Acts. This is the Harvest module, and this is part two. And let's open in a word of prayer because this is so exciting what we're going to get into. We need some time to do it. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for my friends. I want to thank you that you're increasing our spirits. And Lord, I just speak that right now. You told me that on this module, there's going to be an increase in our spirits for harvest. And Father, I pray that as we listen to this, as my friends listen, that they would realize that they were created for harvest. They're not created for barrenness, but for harvest. And I pray as they listen to this, that their wombs are going to begin to come alive. You said, blessed is the one who what? Lord, you said, is barren, doesn't give birth in the natural, because they're going to give birth in the realm of the spirit to a multitude of children. And Father, we know that's through the gospel. Father, we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. And let me just say that to you. I felt that in prayer. You were created for harvest. You're not created to be barren. You're not created for a mundane Christian life. You weren't created just to go to church on Sunday. You were created for harvest. That's why we're doing the study of the book of Acts, is because the book of Acts, with all of its wonderful studies, is a book of harvest. You and I are called to be a part of that harvest. When Jesus declared to Peter, follow me, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. He wasn't just speaking forth the destiny of Peter. He was speaking forth the destiny of Acts and of the church. That's you and me. Now let's open up. Let's begin with a great number of priests. This is number six. Actually, number six ties into number five. We studied it. Let's read it. And the word of God increased, Acts 6, verse 7. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Now, we studied that in the first part. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Now, because the church made the necessary adjustments, the bishops of the church, the apostles, because that's the bishops of the church, or the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers, they needed help. So they began to appoint deacons. Now, a deacon is a ministry. It flows under the authority of the bishops. It flows in the grace that flows out of that bishopric, those offices. And the deacon, kind of the definition of a deacon, is the guy who's right down in there in the dirt, meaning they're doing the jobs that are the closest, right down there with the people. Now, the apostle said, we've got to give ourselves to praying and to the ministry of the word. So these guys, because they have to be set apart, they're not going to be right all the time, right there with the congregation serving soup. Now, it's a good job to do, but when the church is growing like this, these guys realize we've got to pray in order to stay close to the Lord. He's the one building the church, we're not. And so the deacons are the hands of these bishops extended. And so they're serving. And so the point that we're getting to is that these priests, a great number of them, they love God. They were intimidated by the religious hierarchy. Don't you join the church. The problem is they saw these common people, these non-apostles, being used in the power of God. So they had been priests all their life. They never tasted of the power of God. And now they're looking at the church and they're seeing Jesus did it, the apostles did it, and now these guys are working in miracles. I want what they have. So they began to give their lives to Christ. The power of God was shaking the religious establishment. And there's a lot of people out there, even in religious churches, they don't know any better. They've never tasted the power of God. So as Christians, we have got to have the power of God, not as a way to belittle our brothers, but to make them hungry for Jesus. Because I'm telling you what, in some of those religious churches, mainline churches, where some are saved, some are not saved, there's some mighty laborers of the kingdom of God there that the Lord needs in this end time hour. So we need the power of God. So let's look at the next one. Number 7, Samaria is broken open. Acts 8, 5 through 7, Philip went down to Samaria. He preached Christ to them. The people with one accord gave heed to the things which Philip spake. So Philip is preaching. But remember, Jesus said that he would confirm his word with signs following. They were hearing and seeing the miracles which Philip did. Yeah, Philip was doing it, but Jesus was doing it. Jesus was right there. He said, I'm going to be right there with you. You know, when you go out with your evangelism, see Jesus right there with you. And so Philip was going out. They were hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, when you get into this, Philip was an evangelist. The primary operations of the evangelist are healings and miracles. They're power gifts. Now, there may be a couple other gifts of the Spirit that they operate in, but the primary gifts of this kind of evangelist is healings and miracles as they preach Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And that's what he did. Now, I just want you to think about this. He went down there. He was running from Jerusalem. It was Saul. Saul's not the apostle yet, but he's kind of acting like an apostle because he's sending laborers out. And Jesus had said, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, right? Well, the church hadn't gone to Samaria yet. But thanks to Saul, thanks to persecution, what Jesus said was happening, and the power of God was falling on Samaria. Now, that was making the devil pretty angry. But now, persecution was scattering the church, and in that, these guys weren't backing down. I want you to think about that. We talked about persecution. We have a module on persecution. But this harvest was the fruit of persecution. The point I'm trying to make is, if you ever get persecuted, look for the blessing, because something's going to happen if you don't back down that's going to bring a harvest into the kingdom of God. Maybe immediately, maybe over time. But if you don't back down, there's a blessing in it. And I tell you what, just don't back down. Let's look at number 8. It's an Ethiopian. Now, this is going to be an individual. And I tell you, this is one of my favorite harvests. Let's go slow. Acts 8, verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. That was the Ethiopian. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, I need to read this. Isaiah 41, it says this, verse 17, when the poor and the needy are seeking water, and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water and dry land springs of water, and I will plant in the wilderness the cedar. And then he goes on saying, why? So that their eyes are going to see that I'm the Lord God. Now, I love this harvest, because here's a man that only God can see and know. Here's a man that in his heart, he has such a cry for God, but nobody can hear it. Only God hears it. Over here in Samaria, there's a revival moving. Philip is so excited. He's seeing the power of God come down. The apostles come, lay hands. The Holy Ghost baptizes these people. They're praying in tongues. And it's such a revival. And then the angel of the Lord comes. Philip, go down to the wilderness. Why? The wilderness is a place where the Lord wants to open up a river and water the land. You see, when Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said, don't marvel that I say you have to be born again. You have to be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God without being born again. You can't go to heaven without being born again. You can't know Jesus without being born again. But he says it's like the wind blowing. You don't know where it's coming. You don't know where it's going. And so it is with men who are born of the Spirit of God. And so salvation comes by the winds of the Spirit of God, not by evangelism. Though we are called to do evangelism, we're called to preach, we're called to pray, we're called to release our faith. But salvation comes with the breath of God walking into the garden of men's lives, where God breathes into the nostrils of man and he becomes alive. So here's this Ethiopian. He's crying out for God. Philip doesn't know him. So it takes the ministry of angels and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, to begin to take Philip out of revival. Can you believe that? You and I never would have left revival. We would have said, I'm not going to a wilderness. I want to stay here. Well, doesn't work that way. We're servants, okay? And so Philip, man, he says, okay. He goes down there. He's going by faith. He's obeying what the Lord said to do. And there's one man. Now, you and I could look at that and go, oh, man, there was a whole revival in Samaria. And now I get one guy. But the Lord said, when the poor and the needy are crying out, they're thirsty, they're seeking. He said he would hear it. He said that he would what? Open a river in high places. That he's going to what? Water the land. He's going to plant. Here, Philip preaches to this man. He receives Christ. And then he goes back to a nation. And let me just say this. And I want you to get this. Is that you and I don't know where the Spirit of God is moving. But we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to help us position ourselves to move with these winds of God. We are limited. If we lean to our own understanding, we will not walk in the direction of God and fulfill the fullest ministry that God has for us. And so, thank God Philip obeyed. He went out into the wilderness. He found one man, and that one man went back to a nation. And many people today believe that the church, the Christian church planted in Ethiopia, still there today, was because of that Ethiopian. And it was because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've been talking about operations of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This was more than just the gifts. This was an operation. God was getting the gospel to a nation. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself choosing Philip, the Holy Spirit in operation, the angels of God all working to get the gospel into Ethiopia. Philip was just a small part of that operation. So make notes about that. Now let's look at number 9, Saul, who became Paul, another individual. And it says this, Acts 9, verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. He received sight, he arose and was baptized. There were multiple operations of the Holy Spirit at work in Paul's conversion. Paul's conversion wasn't just the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It was another operation. It was more than just the Holy Spirit operating. The Lord was going after an apostle. He was going after someone that was going to, in my opinion, fill the vacant bishopric, office of a bishop, left by Judas Iscariot. Remember, there's 12 apostles. Judas left his. The apostles in Acts chapter 1 thought that Matthias was going to be the one to fill that spot. No, he was numbered with the 11. Paul was going to fill that place. So we've got an operation of God in this. And when you look at all that God was doing to get to impact, to drive the devil out of Saul, to change him, and then those gifts of the Holy Spirit that were impacting him were soon to be flowing through him in an operation of God as he was taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Oh, I just love it. So number 9, it's an individual harvest, but just like the Ethiopian, it didn't stay as an individual. And I want you to think about that. never look down on leading one person to Christ. You don't know what's going to happen. That person could change a whole family, a city, a nation. Obedience is what we do. The fruit and the increase is what the Lord does. Now, let's go to multiplied. Now, don't you love that term? Acts 9, verse 31, the churches had rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. So after the great persecution, which Saul had been a chief instigator of, well, Saul gets saved, and it's almost like the air now is let out of that balloon of that great persecution. Of course, we know the church was crying out to God too. Prayer is always crucial. But I want to point out a couple things. The Bible says that they were edified. Church has to be a place of edification. The gifts of prophecy, which edify, exhort, comfort, are so crucial to edification. The gifts of the Spirit are crucial. Why? Because it builds a healthy church so that the church can multiply. The other thing that was resting upon the church was the fear of the Lord. Remember, we talked about that earlier. The fear of God is one of the greatest catalysts for harvest. You know, the world was looking at the church. They saw the great persecution. But when they looked at them, they said, they just look healthy. They look peaceful. They look comforted. And they said, you know, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a part of what they have. Why? They were hungry for God. And so a multitude came into Christ. Oh, don't you love? Isn't that exciting? Now let's look at the number 11, all of Sharon and Lydda, Acts 9:35, and all that dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now, what happened? One man was healed. One operation of the gifts of healings. One man. Everybody in these two villages knew that one man. And when that one man was healed, it was a catalyst that shot through these villages. And guess what? All that dwelt, what? Turned. Don't you love that? Those two villages, in the morning, they started off without being born again. And by nightfall, they'd all been born again. I want to see this. Don't you want to see this? Don't you want your spirit increase going, okay, God, I got to be a part of this. I'm not satisfied with mundane, go to church on Sunday, get a 15-minute nugget of something, a poem, I don't know what. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of a harvest of souls before you come back. That's what this whole lesson is for. I want you hungering and thirsting to be a part of this. You were made to harvest. Every member of the body of Christ was made to harvest. We're in the 11th hour. The Lord is looking for laborers. And you know what? There's still a reward. There's still blessings for those who will engage now and say, I'm changing my life. I'm going to be a Christian who is moving forward in the power of God. Now let's look at this. Many in Joppa, Acts 9:42. It was known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. The harvest in Joppa resulted in three gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in order to raise a young lady from the dead. The working of miracles goes in and breaks the power of death. Death is a spirit. It will be thrown into the lake of fire one day, but it is a spirit. It takes a gift of the working of miracles, the energy of that miracle working power to break death's hold. The gift of faith has to take the spirit of the person who went to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's the gift of faith that transports them back into their body. The rapture is in the reverse. We're taken up to be with the Lord. It's an operation of God's faith, energizing in power. The next is healings. Whatever caused that body to die had to be healed. or that body dies again. So what we see is there had to be three operations of the power of God. And everybody in this town of Joppa, they heard about it, and they knew what had happened, and what did they do? They turned to the Lord. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. When that young lady came back to life, she had a lot of stories to tell. They gathered around and they said, "What did you see?" And she probably, I don't know, I'm going to make this up, but she's like, "I was in a place of such peace and love. I have never felt such warmth and glory. And all I could see, I saw Moses, I saw Daniel, I saw some this person, that person. And then there was Jesus. And and before I could hug him, Peter prayed and I came back into my body." I made that up, but I can see that. She had stories to tell. And everybody in Joppa was like, "Tell us again. Tell us again. We want to see Jesus." And so the power of God. Now, Peter couldn't have just done that on his own. It took the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do this miracle. And then in that, it broke the whole thing open. And this whole town came to Christ. Aren't you hungry for this? Aren't you hungry that we're part of a kingdom that is alive and well? Let's go to number 13. The Roman centurion Cornelius and his family, near friends. Acts 10:44-48. Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them who heard the word, and they others of circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we did?" He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They prayed for them that they should tarry certain days. In this harvest of Cornelius's house, we see 9 operations of the Holy Spirit. Without these supernatural operations of God, Jewish Peter and Roman Cornelius would never have come together for the harvest. Not only was Cornelius and his household saved, now this is household salvation. We've seen multitudes, we've seen individuals. Now this is a household. But the door to the Gentiles had been open. And guess what? It stayed open. Now, Jesus had talked about in John chapter 10 that there's another flock of sheep that he had to bring into this fold. Well, he's talking about the Gentiles. You had the Jews, but you had the Gentiles. Now, the Jews didn't understand that. Peter didn't understand it when Jesus was talking about there's other sheep I got to bring in. So in this harvest, it was more than just the gifts of the Holy Spirit that broke this open. It was an operation of God. It was like a lever being pulled that was changing church history. There was another flock of sheep called the Gentiles, I'm a Gentile, that had to now come into the body of Christ. And that's what happened. In Acts chapter 10, we see this door opened. And when you really look at it, I don't see that Cornelius gave his heart to the Lord. No, he lived in Caesarea. Philip was in Caesarea. Philip had been preaching. Signs and wonders were happening. And this centurion, like any police authority, he knew everything that was going in around and happening in Caesarea, right? He knew it. He knew about Jesus. None of this was done in secret. I believe that this centurion, Cornelius and his family, I believe that they believed in Jesus, but they needed confirmation. And the Jewish apostles needed confirmation that the Gentiles were also cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So you see this operation. So Peter goes supernaturally. He gets to Cornelius's house. He starts to share with them. Do they repent and give their lives to Christ? No. The Bible says the power of God falls on them and they're baptized in the Holy Ghost. That tells me they were already believers. They needed confirmation. And God needed those apostles in Jerusalem to see the full extent of New Testament doctrine, the Jews and the Gentiles. Oh, aren't you hungry for harvest? Aren't you hungry to start praying and saying, God, I want to be used in this day, this hour? You know, this is the finest hour for the church. I know right now when you look around the world that we live in, it seems like things are being shaken. Well, that's all right. Jesus said that. Everything that can be shaken, it's going to be shaken. Maybe there's a lot of people at your church that aren't going to come back to church. That's all right, because those that are left are going to now be the bed, the fire pit of the glory of God that's going to break loose, and there's going to be a whole new harvest come in on it. But sometimes God's got to stir it up and bring the hot coals together so they can really stir up. Listen, we love you. Go to our website, www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. Get into the School of Acts. Go and watch every one of them. Get it into your spirit. Jesus is coming. We've got to be ready for him. And up there, you can get some training, evangelism training. How do I talk to people about Jesus? We also have a button that says give. You can so be a part of this ministry, and we can preach the gospel around the globe. We love you. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.